Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we ponder God's word this morning, we turn to our first reading from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, it always fascinates me when, as I am privileged to serve several different congregations over the past nearly 25 years, the differences between the congregations. One big difference is where I came from in Indianapolis, that congregation was just celebrating its 15th anniversary, and here we have a congregation before us nearly 10 times older than that congregation, 150 years. Often here too in Door County, we see those family connections and sometimes generation after generation of families that are a part of a congregation, as we see with the Warner family as well, going back generations in this congregation, many others too. There in Indianapolis, however, there were people from many different cultures. I had a lady once in one of my Bible information classes from Haiti, and she knew French better than she knew English, and it was a challenge to teach, but she would sit there and listen to the Word of God. Another lady from the Philippines, she had grown up there. I would go to her house and enjoy some Filipino food, delicious. But she would also let me sit at her kitchen table and share with her the Word of God. Another family, one young lady, growing up in Puerto Rico, she married an American man. They had 6 children and were members of our congregation. And another couple from India. They didn't become members, but they were frequent visitors to our church. There are so many variations and differences in our congregations, but there is one thing that is the same about all of us. We are by nature destitute and impoverished in our sin, with no way out of that sin on our own. And yet we have this one same Savior, this rescuer for each one of us, this one who has given to each one of us the robe of Christ's righteousness that now enfolds us. This is our confidence, as we just sang about, that Jesus is our risen Savior who has given us new life. And because of that new life, we are united in this gospel mission. And today we consider that for just a few moments. Because we are united in that gospel mission, may we also be motivated in our plans to share that gospel. And also always looking to our Lord for the doors that he opens for his spiritual care that comes through that gospel. We are transported back 2,000 years ago when, after the resurrection of Jesus and after Pentecost, the church was going out into an unknown territory. The Apostle Paul had gone on his first missionary journey to cities that maybe you've heard of before, Lystra, Derbe, Iconium. He began congregations there by God's grace. And then Paul and his companions went back down to Jerusalem to report to the mother church that Gentiles were joining the church. And that caused a great debate. Acts chapter 15, a great council was held. How do we let Gentiles into the church with all our laws and rules of the Old Testament? Well, they finally let those Gentile Christians into the church, all because of Jesus and what he had done for them, without laying all these stipulations that you must be circumcised before you enter the church. There was freedom in Jesus to be a part of that group, to be unified as Christians. With that good news, Paul and his companions go out again for a second journey, revisiting those churches that Paul was blessed to begin, encouraging those Christians. But then Paul and his companions began to ask, Where can we go next? And Paul and his companions planned. They planned to go straight west to the western side of what we know as the country of Turkey, because there they knew there were a populous place. There were many big cities. We'll go and share the gospel there, they thought. But then we hear the words here in Acts 16 that the Holy Spirit prevented them from going there. Undaunted, Paul and his companions say, okay, if we can't go that direction, let's head north and west and see what the Lord might harvest there. But as they went north and west towards a land called Bithynia, you may know it better from a famous city that would be made famous about 3 centuries later, Nicaea, where we get the Nicene Creed that we confessed this morning. They went that direction, but then the Spirit of Jesus, that same Holy Spirit, prevented them from going there too to preach the gospel. And so what did Paul do then? Undaunted, he and his companions continued on their journey to a place called Troas. It was a remote location, far from the mother church down in Jerusalem. And yet it didn't seem like there was much harvest there either. What is the point of all this? Why does Scripture tell us this? We as the church, who are justified in Christ Jesus, forgiven all our sins, we the church, who look to the resurrected Savior for help and strength, we make plans. We make plans of sharing the gospel. But we know too that those plans are not inspired by the Word of God. They are inspired by thoughts that we have of good places to go with the gospel, but we know not what God's plans are in those situations. Maybe God will bless the outreach we do, but maybe God will have other plans for us too. It's not a sin to come up with plans. It was not a sin for Paul to come up with his plans. But it's good for us to always be thinking, where does God want us to go? Because there are still people out there who have little to no relationship with their Savior. And you and I cherish that relationship with our Savior as our dearest treasure. How can we be moved to help and to share, even as we make plans? We may think, well, I don't know where to go, but remember what you do know. You know this. You know that we are lost and condemned creatures who have been bought by the blood of Christ. And you know that Jesus chose you before the creation of the world to be his own. He had plans for you before time began. And because God included us in his plans, and because God gives us opportunities to plan and share the gospel even now, may we be motivated by that same Savior who loves us so dearly to share that gospel too. Oh, we may come across plans that are disappointing. I can tell you so many plans that we tried on the mission field in Indianapolis that did not work, did not seem to bear much fruit. But what do? Do we throw up our hands and say, I guess we just have to give up sharing the gospel? No, we want to. We desire to share the gospel. We never want to think to ourselves that, well, we're just satisfied the way we are. We have been here 150 years, and so I like our little group, and that's my family. Would Jesus, who is our Savior, also motivate us to think about who those others are outside of our group, who can be brought into this family as well? How can we share and promote that gospel to others too? Jesus has brought me into his family. We are part of his kingdom. Can we also share that gospel truth with others too? And maybe we have to shift plans at times. We try outreach, and maybe it doesn't work, but then we try something else. not with us being the center of our own plans, but always the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, always being the motivating factor for us as we share the gospel. May it be our prayer, Lord, here are our plans to share you with others. Guide our plans, dear Jesus, and always keep the gospel before us, dear Jesus, so that we are always ready to share it when you give us opportunities to do so. Lord, be with us and guide your church as you have done for the last 150 years. Lord, help us in our plans to share you. And you know what our dear Jesus does? Our dear Jesus, by his grace, opens doors of his spiritual care for others. And that's what happened with Paul. Paul went one place, and the Holy Spirit prevented him. He went to another place, the Spirit of Jesus prevented him. And here he is in a remote outpost called Troas. And then one day, it was God himself who sent a vision to Paul of a man from Macedonia. And this man from Macedonia had a simple, clear message for Paul and his companions. The message was this: come over here and help us. And those missionaries got the message. They left immediately and went to Macedonia to share the gospel, where God opened up doors. Church after church after church was opened by God's grace on that second missionary journey, far, far away from the mother church in Jerusalem. What is quite unique about this man from Macedonia vision is that when they were called to go to Macedonia, it meant that the gospel was now about to cross over from one continent to another continent. The gospel had begun there in Asia, in the Middle East, in Jerusalem, in the New Testament church. But now it was about to cross over from Asia into what we know now today as Europe. And you know how significant that is? That meant new people would be reached with the gospel. New cultures would be reached with the saving word of God. Others would now be brought into God's kingdom. Paul and his companions didn't anticipate that. But this was God's plan, to open these doors for Paul so that the kingdom of God would grow. We may not know what God's plans are, but God does want us to go forth with those plans. Whatever doors he may open, we want to take advantage of them too, don't we? By his grace, with his help, with his strength, we want to do that. I think Christ, in a very real way, is like this Macedonian experience for Paul 2,000 years ago in this: that there was another congregation, well-established, called Zion Lutheran Church, and how 75 years ago, leaders in this church who were searching and searching for a pastor for this congregation went and called on Zion and said, come and help us. And Zion responded, and here we are 75 years later. Pastors have been shared throughout those many decades, and the word of God continues. The Lord opened a door, and that door is still very much open, even here in Door County. What a blessing. You see, you and I know what God's will is. God's will is he wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And so let us look too to see what God's plan is. What is your plan, dear Jesus? We're going to try and do outreach. We're going to try and reach out to the lost and straying sheep. Help us, Lord, to do that, to not become complacent, to not adopt this Jonah-type thinking where God gives us a mission and we walk the other way. May that dare not happen to us, but rather may we rejoice to share that gospel with others too. When I look and see the offerings that are often given by you and me and believers, we see that they don't go just to support the local congregation, but God's people graciously give to missions as well. Because there are places in this world where we cannot go, but there is a call going out, like the Macedonian call, come and help us. I can't tell you how many times other countries, other cultures have asked the Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, to come and help us. Maybe most notably, something happened 5-6 years ago in the country of Vietnam. In that country, we received that call to come and help. And the Wells has now built a school where young people are able to be trained as future pastors and teachers for Vietnam. And the government has allowed us to come in and share that gospel in ways that we never thought possible years ago. Just think, 60 years ago, we were at war with that country. And now God is opening a door. May God continue to bless us with that mission mindset. And of course, when we think of missions, we don't have to just think about far off Vietnam. We can think about right here. How well do we know our next door neighbor? Do we get a chance to speak to them, to know whether or not they're connected to Jesus? Do we have a love for them like Jesus has for us? Are there possibilities amongst our neighbors, our friends, our relatives, those people who are simply acquaintances? Can we also reach out to them with the love of Jesus? And dear friends, you have every motivation to do so, because there's something special that unites all of us. It is the truth of God's word, the truth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So many people may think, well, it's my family, my blood relatives that are the closest bonds I will ever have on this side of heaven. And I would argue, no, it is not. The closest bonds you will ever have on this side of heaven are the bonds that you will enjoy in heaven one day. The bond of being the communion of saints, as we confess in the creeds. You have been bought by the blood of the Lamb. You are now part of His family. And we are all part of that family, no matter what our backgrounds have been. Even no matter how far we have strayed in the past, that same blood of Jesus has forgiven all your sins and made you a part of His family. Can we rejoice in that and remember the beautiful union we have, that unity in sharing in that gospel mission? God, help us and give us joy to see the privilege that is before us, even in the long storied history of Christ Lutheran Church. God, help us in that mission. Amen.